Hallelujah. Bele balakora kalasa. Bele makora. We worship you, Jesus. Bele makora. Magnify you. We magnify you, Jesus. We magnify you. Thank you, Jesus. Meyala kalasa. Me karakore me kio. Imala kroke de diete. Magnify you. Balokoroke le diato. Mondeya lakote stini. Jesus. Bele bakote. He that is desperate for me is not desperate in the world. Do not become entangled with words, saith the Spirit of grace, but understand the meaning and the essence. For those that are desperate for me are not desperate in life. Desperation to know me is a longing as the deer panteth after the water brook. Desperation to come into places in me and seek my face alleviates the desperation of the world and the desperation of the flesh. There is a desperation sanctified by my spirit in which the heart cannot live without every moment being sanctified over into a glorious place of communion of the Holy Ghost and a testimony by my spirit of who you are and what I am in you, saith the Spirit of grace. So the desperation of the spirit is not the desperation of the flesh. Do not mix them up. For one alleviates the other, one vanquishes the other, one brings another one under subjection and subdues it always to the mind of Christ. To the one who'll seek my face, to seek me is to know me. To set your affections on me is to set yourself in a place of perfect peace always in my presence. Baya korose. Bede korose lebedi brakute. Those who seek my face will live a higher standard. And they'll also live a higher standard of peace and life. And in peace, you'll hear my voice. You'll walk past and walk around a lot of things that most of the body of Christ just falls into. For much of the temptation of the flesh is created by the flesh, and they fall into things and then confess their way out of it, thinking that Satan himself put them in that place. But I've called you to a higher standard. I've called you to walk around. There'll be much things that you'll not be able to walk around. You'll walk through, which is persecution for righteousness' sake. But many, 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 and even most things that the body of Christ declares a test or a trial, I could have delivered them before it started, and they could have walked around it by hearing my voice, knowing my precepts and following me, saith the Spirit of grace. For much temptation comes. Many fall into trials and tribulations of the flesh because they do not walk in a higher standard. I've called you. I've called you by my Spirit, and I've called you by the doctrine of my word to walk in a higher place. Erakato Behaklase Meholachrete didier Yristia Makote, your edification higher and higher in me is for you to be lifted up higher. But there is a place beyond service of yourself. It is for my kingdom that all the peace that you walk in and the health that you walk in and every benefit in the body is for a higher purpose, that you serve me in these last days for a great and mighty harvest that is coming. Bekaraso. Be not as those who grope around in the darkness, waiting for the morning to come and waiting for something to change the world that you live in. For I've given to you to change the world, the atmosphere, even the health that you walk in, saith the Spirit of grace. Bekarese. Bedakaraso. Beharakyo makarase. Belakarose. Lord, I'm desperate for you. As the deer panteth for the water, I can't live without another drink of your presence, another taste of your word into my spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. You glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I am. I'll tell you what. Praise God. Man, it's so good to go away and know that everything is taken care of. Leave somebody like Homer in charge and the word, and then these elders that just back him up, pray in the spirit. Hallelujah. And I know he did a great job, because I'm looking at this capacity crowd this morning, and I can tell when he preaches real good, real, real good, that he runs off half the crowd. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I was, the last memory I have of this place was Easter, and it was packed. And then I see Homer's preached real good. Praise God. Hallelujah. He did a good job. And so we'll have to give him extra. So I don't know what extra is on top of very little, if nothing at all. So hallelujah. Wow, it's good to be here. Good to be home. This is my 13th service since last Sunday morning. And I've preached or exhorted in 7 of them. So hallelujah. Smith Wigglesworth used to say that I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Hallelujah. So when your flesh tells you, no, you just can't, I can't go to church, oh yeah, you can. Oh yeah, you can. If you'll reach into who you are, if you listen to the flesh, you won't hardly do anything. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we need to give each other a great big hug. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Let's all stand. I'm hugging you in the camera. Good morning. Glory. Well, we've got an assignment, don't we? And if we're telling the world, and if we're telling people, don't, you know, the gospel to the unsaved is not don't and stop. They can't stop. You don't teach them. You don't, you know, you're coming in here and you're hearing, if you're born again, then I have the opportunity to really, in a loving way, rail on you. Because you can. You have all of the equipment inside of you. If you hear Homer teach one of those powerful sermons, which I'm sure he did during this last week, we have the capacity to change. Not with condemnation, but with an incredible empowerment that's on the inside of us. So the message to the world is not stop. Don't preach stop and don't, and you know, don't preach this message of change that we teach you to them. You teach them Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's your message to them. Because there's a joy in coming out of the condemnation that sin has on people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't bait and switch. We just bait them in and then turn them over to this gospel. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's very powerful. We're excited. And I'm excited about all the people that are going to be born again. Even today. And in the near future, amen. It's so good to go away and not call back and say, is the church still there? You know, I just don't do it. I just don't check on anything, because I know you guys are mature. I might talk to Homer some while I'm gone, but it's not to say, is everything okay? It's just to find out how wonderful your services are. So praise the Lord. We have a couple of things to recognize. One, that we have Miss Aaliyah's birthday is coming up this week. Aaliyah, would you please stand? Would you start us off with a, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. We're going to honor her to sing. How many would like to sing happy birthday to Aaliyah? How old? 17. I can't believe it. She grew up in this church. Please, whenever you get ready, maestro, hallelujah. Glory be to God. So everybody turn and look at Aaliyah. Day to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Aaliyah. Happy birthday to you. Yay! Hallelujah. Amen. And I understand we had some graduates this week. One is our most beautiful Sandy. Sandy, would you please stand? Where did you graduate from? Wonderful. And was that with a bachelor's degree?
Yes.
Wonderful. What was your major?
Elementary education.
Let's give her a great big hand. Hallelujah. Priscilla, is she? I don't see Priscilla. Priscilla, she graduated this week too? Bachelor's degree, and hers was what? That's spoken like a real father. I don't know. Hallelujah. But we're going to, when you see Priscilla, tell her that we let's give her a great big hand, Priscilla. Yay. Maybe she can hear that. Glory to God. Amen. So praise the Lord. No church tonight. Somebody said, well, this is the third week in a row. Yep, but we're, me and Miss Gabe, I started telling her, and she goes, oh, no, I can't come anyway. That's it. We're loading a semi, and there's no way possible. We're not going to backslide on Sunday nights. We are going to get back to it probably next week. But so it was, what is it? Mother's Day. So we won't be back next week. You know what? I'm not really sure when we'll. I'm not really sure when. But we're going to get back to Sunday nights. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not going to give up. And it, hallelujah. So thanks for, you know. So hallelujah. And man, like I said, this is, I realized I was just standing there and I said, man, this is my 13th service since last Sunday morning. And seven I've either preached or exhorted in. So four of them, counting today, would be teaching in. Pastor Jim worked me. He just worked me. So praise God. He must love me a lot. And so I just said, praise the Lord. I'll just do whatever I'm called to do. And we appreciate everything, every opportunity. And then I got off the plane yesterday, went straight, picked up our car, executive parking, and went straight to a wonderful ballet recital. Would you come up here, please? Could you come up, stand? She's not going to come next to him. If Papa holds your hand, will you come up for a second? Nope, she's not even going to do it if Papa holds her hand. She did great on stage yesterday, though. She did fantastic. That's Drea. So she did great. And then, of course, as soon as I got done there, changed my shirt, got in the car, and went straight to watch the Avengers Endgame with Josiah. Hallelujah. So we're still trying to catch up. Amen. So no service tonight. Glory be to God. So I won't spoil the end game for anybody that hasn't seen it. And I understand that some people have seen it as much as three times. Would you believe that, Robert? Could you believe that somebody would do that? Hallelujah. So if you don't care about being spoiled and you want to know everything about the movie, come see Robert. He knows everything about it. Hallelujah. We're going to I want to say thank you for all of those, everybody that's watching and everybody here that support while we're gone and while we're here. So thank you for being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and your giving. So without exhortation this morning, I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to ask you to listen and to participate as you can in this giving. So Father, we worship you. We thank you for those that are watching, our family and friends that are watching. And Lord, for everyone in here, and you're the one that supports this ministry according to your riches and glory, first by ministering to the lives of those, changing things around, blessing their businesses, blessing their personal life, their income, and so that there's more than enough to be able to give out of the resources that they have. And so, Father, I give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name for this offering, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you guys could, one of you guys place those out. Let's all stand together again. Marty, if you could give us something to bring this down. If you have something, bring it down. If not, then just turn to someone and greet them again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
You only know I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case. If not for grace, where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case, an empty. If not for grace, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, found a hopeless case.
Hallelujah.
An empty place.
Praise you, Jesus.
If not for grace.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Father. One more time on that. That was so beautiful. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus.
Where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case, an empty place.
Bless you, Jesus.
If not
bless
for
you,
grace,
Jesus. Worship you.
Where would I be?
Hallelujah.
You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case, an empty place, if not for grace.
Hallelujah.
Amazing grace.
Thank you, Father.
How sweet the sound. I once was lost.
Bless you, Jesus.
But now I'm found a hopeless case, an empty place, if not for grace. A hopeless place, an empty place, if not for grace.
Hallelujah.
I think I can say that tonight. A hopeless
Hallelujah.
Case.
Bless you, Jesus.
An empty place, if not for grace.
Hallelujah. Just want to let you know that on June the 9th, we are going to have a baptismal service, a water baptismal service, and it will be at my neighbor's house, just across the street from where I live. So anyone that has not been baptized before in the past, or for whatever reason you thought it was you were really young, very young, and you don't really remember having appreciated it as significantly as what we will teach on that given Sunday. Or if you just had known Christ and went away for a while and you just want to make a formal to the world and to the church commitment of where you stand, I think all those things qualify. And so next week we'll have a sign-up sheet. And then, of course, we will have a service, at least one, dedicated to the teaching of water baptism and give you some practical instructions of what we'll expect that day. And then we'll have a reception afterwards, and everybody will be invited. We'll cater something in so that the ladies and everybody don't have to really work that hard that day. So we'll just come back from the pool here and then receive those that have been baptized with a lot of joy. Amen. So we'll have a good time, and that is June the 9th. Amen. Hallelujah. So praise the Lord. And we had, first of all, again, I want to brag on you guys, because when I come back, that's the most important thing, is that the family is served here. And I appreciate your attending, and I appreciate Homer's messages. I haven't heard them all. I heard part of one. There's just no way, especially if you're anybody that's ever been to a conference. Those conferences are wonderful. They're absolutely incredible, whether it's Dayton or Tulsa. It's not a vacation. It's definitely not a vacation. You're just go, 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 go. There's a morning service that is probably 3+ hours long, and then you have a short break in which you'll have a break in which you normally go and just fellowship. And then you're back in service again. Now, if you're a minister, you're studying in between times. So there is I didn't even know where the week went. But it was wonderful. Hallelujah. So I heard Candy listening to Homer's message. There was no way for me to get to it because I was doing my own study. But I heard part of it, and I can tell you it was just the one I heard on Sunday. I didn't even hear any of Wednesday's yet, but it was right in line with everything that was being taught there. And I will say this, and I promise you that Gary, Jim, I, or any of us don't get together before these conferences and say, what are you going to teach? What are you going to teach? You know, so that we can kind of congruently bring everything together. It's just, I have never been a part. If you watched any of the services, you may have heard me say this, but this conference, any of them, Tulsa, Dayton before, I've never been in a conference where the mind of Christ had such a singularity, just a oneness. And that's a testimony to where that we all are at. There was myself, Jim, Martin, Gary Carpenter, Barry Johnson taught. He did an exhortation. Nathan Varble was there, and he taught. And Richard Edgar, and many of you have never met or heard L.A. Legault, but he's a very, very powerful minister. That's Jamie Legault's husband. And so that's an interesting way of being announced, isn't it? You know, or being presented. Like, and I'm Candy's husband, you know, because the more significant one is Candy, okay? Hallelujah. But we had a great time. It was very powerful. And a lot of wonderful things took place. I remember on one particular day, there was really only one prayer line that I can remember. Nathan called it, and Nathan was ministering to some other people, and he called Pastor Jim and I up to minister to people for healing. And Candy and I were praying for people on this side of the altar, and somebody came up, a man and a woman that I know from Mississippi, and he works for the University of Ole Miss, and a wonderful man, and he and his wife are in most all the conferences I see, and has followed this message for many, many years. Well, he had had an injury on the university about 2 weeks prior, and he had injured his shoulder significantly. He had fallen. He's not an elderly guy. He just had a mishap and fell and just stove his whole shoulder up to where that he could not even sleep. You know, he said the night before it was so bad he was trying to put pillows all around to try to get some rest for the conference. And so we just prayed, and as soon as I prayed, I mean, it was like bam. It was not one of those where it eased off. He was like suffering 1 second, and the next second, I mean, and I really like it when people, I mean, I don't have to have the confirmation of emotion, but it really is neat when somebody is like, you know, when somebody gets really healed of something significant, when they're like the red eye commercial guy, like, yeah, I just got healed. You're just wondering, did they really? This guy was like, wow, man. He was like doing his arm like this. He goes, man, right now. He goes, it's gone. And I was going, and I turned to Pastor Jim and I go, he's got healed. I was like, Gary said, I saw you. You were pretty excited. I said, yeah, I was. But he didn't give his testimony then, but I was like, man, he got healed right now. And the guy goes, it's gone. It's just completely. And it was gone. It was gone when he left the conference. But it was so good because I told people, yeah, when I prayed for him, I was kind of like shocked, but I said, and then I realized, no, wait a minute, I'm not going to act that way. I'm going to say, oh, yeah, this is what happens every time when I done. It's like, man, this old school, you know, this is it. I'm just like, this all always happens, instantaneous healings, you know. So, hallelujah. So, we're going to have a good time June 9th, and so praise the Lord. But it was very, very powerful, a singularity of because of where we're going. Because all these men and all of us, men and women, in this kingdom walk, we're going to a place that the Holy Spirit is bringing us in, and it's like that divine compass. The more that you do this, the more it just brings us all into a oneness of thought. Nobody's trying to make anybody clones. Nobody's making, we're not a group that's trying to make everybody like selectively just brainwashing people. We're teaching you, and we're teaching ourselves through communion and the Holy Spirit and talking one to another, all of the things that we've always known about praying in the Spirit and listening to the Word of God and the message that is current right now. And I would say the message probably that was here and the message that was there the strongest was growing us up in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, and making us understand who we are and what we've been called to do. And it was a message of, again, separating ourselves from the world and separating ourselves from sin. And the first message, I can't even remember the title, but it was some of the same things that you've heard. A lot of it was some of the same things you've heard, but some of it was different, really was different. And but it was some of it, you know, how the Lord has separated us from sin. I'd never heard somebody say it like this. But Pastor Jim got up afterwards. He loved the message. He told me, he goes, Bronky did a great job. It was the first message. But I was talking about where the church is at large, and where the separation that has happened in the church and what the church at large considers to be a standard. And Pastor Jim got up afterwards, and he's closing the service, and he goes, he didn't say this message, but he said, for us to have to teach this, it's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. The church having to be told you shouldn't be fornicating, it's pathetic. For people to believe that they've done something, for men to stand up or to think that, you know, well, I haven't cheated on my wife. Well, whoopee-doo. My God, that's just who you're supposed to be. You've been born again. Nobody's going to give you a prize for being who you are. You're just supposed to be that. Glory be to God. So Pastor Jim did, he nailed it when he said this. We appreciate Bronk's message, it's very powerful, but it was also pathetic. It was also pathetic that we have to, because here's the thing, we're supposed to be here. Everything is for the, maybe some of you heard some of that message, the second message, I think, was talking about, I talked about the conquering church in the end game of everything. The end game of everything. So the end game of everything, you're praying in tongues. I love praying in tongues. It edifies you, but you're supposed to be being built up for the end game, which is for the harvest. Even your healings for your body and your healings for your emotion and all that stuff, it's not, see, we just narrow this thing down. You get so small. You get real small if it's all about you. But the more you go into Him, it's like everything that He wants to do for you, and He does, because He's Daddy. He wants to make you whole, but you being whole and even you being edified and even us learning all the Word and all of this reproving is not so we can go to heaven saying, we're squeaky clean, we're the changed church. No, all of this, right on down to your emotional and physical healing, is to take us into a place where we're so healed that we're after the healing of the harvest, bringing them in. The end game's not about us. Our reproving and our purging of everything that we need to die to, that's wonderful. Let's keep it up. But that's not the end. It's not so that we can walk in and say, the Word says He wants to present us blameless before Him in that day. But all of this has it's a higher calling. My tongues have a higher calling. My word time has a higher calling. It's all to do the works that He did. Jesus was never trying to, you know, He lived above sin, absolutely, because He was His Father's Son. But He had a mission in life. We've got a mission. So everything that we do spells out that we've got a higher calling. God, I want to get healed. Amen. You want to get healed, and I'm sure the reason why you want to get healed is not so you can live your best life now. So you can spend your Sundays on your boat, so you can go to the mall, shop better, so you can have a better time. You want to be healed so you can live, and it won't keep you out of church, it won't keep you out of ministry, it won't keep you, well, and I want to be healed emotionally, Lord. Heal me emotionally. Yes, because You are my son, You are my daughter, but Your healing is to interpret to something far greater than yourself. Not so you can just lay around saying, boy, I got so much peace, wonderful. Where's your peace going? Where's the next step for peace for you? Peace is, I've got peace now to go out, and I'm so healed, I can minister to everybody. That's where our peace is at. That's where we're supposed to be. So everything, well, God, get me out of the ditch of poverty. Praise God. Get us out of that ditch of poverty. He wants us, but he doesn't want you to have money in the bank so you can look at it and say, boy, I feel secure now. That money is to be supposed to be going into the kingdom, going into the kingdom, going into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just exhorting right now, but I can feel it. This is one of the scriptures that I used. Why don't you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. I just felt like this is, when I asked him this morning, he just led me to this, to go back to this, to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to just kind of read through most of this, and then after all, we'll comment. 2 Peter 1:1 says this. I'll give you a chance to go ahead and turn there or tap the glass to get there. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that are obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How many want grace and peace to be multiplied? Grace. Grace. That's his strength. And peace multiplied. How so? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Well, how many of you know what? I mean, we could preach days on that, the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God comes only one way, by knowing the Word of God. That's how it's multiplied to us. Amen? Amen. So he says here, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us, because of these things, are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, and when it says promises here, I don't want you to just think, this is the entirety of the Word of God, what he's spelling out here. This is not the promises that you put on your refrigerator. It is. It entails these, the promises that are all our promises of healing or promises of prosperity. But what he's saying here is this is the proclamation. The word here in the Greek even means that which is proclaimed. The proclamation. So he's entitling the whole Word of God here. So don't just think, my promises, by his stripes I'm healed, or he bore, and you know, all the, this is the entirety of the Word of God. Thank you, Homer. So he says here, great and precious promises, that by these, by the Word of God, the entirety of the Word of God, you might be partakers. Now the word partakers here is the word koinonia, which means to fellowship. So it's the Word of God that causes you to fellowship, it says here, of the divine nature. You might say even with the divine nature. That's that new you on the inside, okay? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Partakers is the word fellowship. So we receive fellowship with actually who we are on the inside by taking the Word of God, ministering the Word of God to ourselves, reading it, meditating on it, and it puts us in full fellowship with the real person of who we are. And besides this, verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And if these things be in you, if they be in you, and abound, and of course, one of the things that I believe that Peter is saying here is he's giving us a reflection of what's already in us, because he's speaking to born-again people. This is not to the world. And he's not saying as if I'm in question. He's saying if these things are in you, now here's the next logic on this. This is the next understanding. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh, doesn't say didn't have, it just says he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now see, here's where we're at. Those of us that see this and are according to Ephesians, where it says, awake, awake to righteousness, awake thou that sleepest, through the washing of the water of the Word on a continual basis, it puts us in touch with who we are, and we stay awake. We're awakened. Otherwise, the corruption of the world, the corruption of, listen, if you just sit at home and watch too much TV,
the world's gonna it's gonna pickle your mind. You may be born again, but you're gonna think like the world. You're gonna think like the world. I watch some news, but I don't watch half of what I used to. Not even half, because even conservative news is a blanketing of my mind. It's a blanketing. I want to set my affections on the things that are above. I want to set my affections on the thing. And as I set my affections, Ephesians 3, as I set my affections on the things that are above, I've got a continual awareness, and I'm looking to the end of all things, and I'm not blind. The church at large is blind. It just believes that they're living their best. They've got a sweet little Cinderella story. They're born again, and Jesus is coming one day to get us all, and he's going to come back, and he's going to come in this, you know, horse-drawn carriage, you know, Cinderella story, and take us all, us sweet little Christians, to heaven. And that's just not, listen, there is something coming on this earth that we better get ready for. And we better get ready to be walking in the strength and the power of the gospel. First of all, we're going to have the greatest outpouring like we've never seen. It is something that even eclipses the first church. The first church was a beginning, but the end is going to be better than the beginning. Hallelujah. And I'm excited about that. The word says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience kindness. Now, we could use the word add to every one of these things, even though it doesn't put it in, but it's the understanding. 1:7, and add, I'm going to say add, but because the understanding is there, add to godliness brotherly kindness, and add to brotherly kindness charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, again, as I read, is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, everybody say do. Yeah. Amen. We need to go back and get that message of Homer's. Do, do, do. If you do these things, you shall never what? You'll never fall. See, this is our guarantee. This is our guarantee. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul says, I keep under control. I'm going to paraphrase. I keep under control my body, lest I, having preached to others, wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, lest I, having preached to others, I myself become a castaway. The word castaway is the word reprobate. If there was any one scripture in the New Testament that just blows once saved, always saved out of the water, it's 1 Corinthians 9:27. Paul says the word reprobate means one that has completely lost out with God. So, I mean, I don't even know how in the world a person could even argue that. Once saved, always saved. Paul said this, I keep under my body, or I keep it the things that need to be subjected to the Word of God, I keep them under the control, lest I, Paul, having preached to everybody, I find myself at the end of the road, I'm just blatantly being cast into the lake of fire. I can't think of a greater travesty than a man that now he said this, that he could have preached to others, and now we know he wrote the Word of God. Is it possible? It's possible, because he said it, that he could have been cast away, a reprobate, same word that's in Romans chapter 1, that he could be cast away, a reprobate, and cast into hell if he did not keep under his body. Pastor Dave sitting in that office right there, those of you watching the camera, pointing over my right, I have a little office in there. Pastor Dave Roberson used to sit in there. He'd sit in there, and he's told me at the hotel when I'd pick him up. He didn't preach it all the time like he was scared. He just preached it as I knew him I've known him for 20-something years. He'd tell me, Bronk, I mean, we had incredible conversations, and he taught me a lot of things personally. But he always tell me one thing. One of the things he would tell me, he'd say, Bronk, remember one thing. I said, yes, sir. He said, just remember. He said, you can fall from any position. Doesn't matter how high you go, you can always fall. Don't ever think that no matter where you went to, now it doesn't happen overnight, but you can fall from any position. See, I've already had two in 20 years, right-hand people that I was just like right-hand, not that they were any more mature than a lot of you, but they've just served the Lord. And I would debate with anybody because I knew them. They could quote the message that we're on as good as anybody in here and as good as anybody that preached at the conference. I mean, boom, 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 they could tell you. And I think they were sincere. But if you don't do what he says, now, the first place to ever turning is to scoff. If there's a little bit of anything inside of you that says, not me, you got a little bit of thing in there that's a little dangerous. If there's just a smidgen, now do you walk around with fear? Absolutely not. I serve the Lord in gladness. But I have a healthy fear knowing that Bronc Flint could wake up one day in the lake of fire, left Candy, church busted, run off with some other woman, doing whatever. If there's just a smidgen, just a little bit that just thinks, once you're far enough along, you're far enough along. Listen, keep a healthy reverence. I honestly don't know if either one of those two people they're gone, left. I don't know if they're born again. One of them left and a little bit later didn't even believe in praying in tongues anymore. Not even praying in tongues. And then went into a place of, this is where it gets real, real dangerous. Started going into a universalism. Now listen, when you believe everybody on the planet, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, they're all saved, you're getting into something where you're discounting the blood of Jesus. That's real dangerous. And I'm not saying I'm not the judge on either one of those. I hope they've changed. I'm just saying that for all of us, at all times, we have to stay in this place of accountability to ourselves. Hallelujah. Because here's the thing. Not those people. I love those people still. Not those people or anybody that's ever walked away. They never thought that they'd ever walk away. They always had the same thought that we're thinking right now. Not where I'm at right now. Well, sure. Not where you're at right now. But if you just allow one little thing to become a seedbed in you and you don't deal with it, and you just let anybody that ever walked away, that thing was working in them a long time. But then it just, after a while, it comes to the surface. And then once it comes to the surface, you get that tree to the surface. Ooh, Lord Jesus, it just shoots up then. It'll shoot up then. Hallelujah. For he said this, rather make your brethren give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always, Peter said, always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Peter this is his last book. Now, if anybody calls me to their bedside and says, okay, well, they're not sick, but let's say they're going out. They know they're going out. He's in prison. This is 2 Peter's his last book, 2 Timothy's Paul's last book. And man, if anything I ever want to listen to is what people say when they know they're fixing to die. I mean, it's like, okay, I only got a few minutes here. If I can tell you the last thing I need to tell you to make it through, and this is Peter's last kind of like, I know I'm fixing to go here, so wherefore I'll not, he says, I want to tell you this, I'll not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in present truth. I appreciate all of you so much, and everybody listening, when you hear myself, we hear Homer reiterate the things, and we try to throw in spice. We try to throw in everything that we, you know, the new stuff that whatever God's given us and the new stuff that God's communicating to you. But to reiterate these things and to speak these things because of where the church is going and where the church is at large, it's absolutely important for us to continue to speak these things. Even though Pastor Jim says it's pathetic, we have to keep speaking these things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because I'll tell you, honestly, I'm not as savvy on social stuff. I mean, you know, I understand how to, you know, do a lot of stuff. But as far as the communication, the stuff that's out there, I look to these guys. I'm looking up here at our some of my millennials, and I talk to these guys, and they just give me feedback, and I don't dig it out of them. But you know, when I'm talking to Alex, and when I'm talking to other ones that are, you know, that are especially, I don't have Facebook. I'm not saying that's wrong. That's fine, perfectly fine. The church has one, but I understand that there's a mentality in the church world by the millions. Must be by the millions. Alex has got a following. I mean, he's way up in the hundreds of thousands that follow some of his stuff, and it's just I can't believe it because I don't think none of these guys are lying to me. But it's just amazing to me because I'm not talking to these kind of people. But it's just amazing to me that the church talks about, yeah, me and her live together, but praise the Lord. Just like I said a few weeks ago, hashtag Jesus. Yeah, me and my girlfriend, we're claiming God's provision in our life. You're not claiming anything because you're not going to get God's provision in your life because you're living in sin. Well, we're claiming our healing. No, 1 John says, if you're in sin, your heart will condemn you. Your heart will condemn you, and you don't have faith. It's not that God wouldn't want to heal you. Now, here's to the lie and to the liars, preachers, or anybody that go along with this to say that this message is a message of works. First of all, you're a liar. You're an absolute liar. Why? How do you know? Because the word says here, it didn't say God adds to, it says you add to. It didn't say go pray and ask God to help you stop doing this. You just do it. It says you add to. And for a man to say, oh, you're in a gospel of works, teaching those people that they need to stop sinning, you're a liar. You're an absolute liar. And you're speaking with the lies from the father of hell. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I don't know if I come here this morning to hear all that. The word makes us partakers to fellowship. And what I just said, if it is, now just think about that. If it is all done, if it's all done with no more effort on our part to maintain it, then why in the world did Peter, by the Holy Ghost, repeatedly say that we, not God, were to add to? Pastor, I'm just believing God for the day that I'm set free from that thing. Brother, you're already set free, and you're just trying to make an excuse to keep doing it. Just stop it today. Well, I don't believe I can. Well, if you go get in the Word, and if you'll start praying in tongues, you have the strength. Pastor, I can't stop it. No, that's a lie. That's just an absolute lie. You can't stop it because you love it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad I took up the offering before I did all this. But y'all love this stuff because that's who you are. He said this to faith. He said you. Now, does it say that God will add to? Or no, it says us. You add to. You add to. To the faith, you add to, add virtue. The word virtue is the first word that you see there is the word manliness. Now, some ladies will say, I'm not a man. No, it's talking about manly character. Like buck up and be a man. Okay? Well, I am a man. Well, yeah, you may whip me. You may whip me, but after, see, God's telling me that I'm right. He's ringing the bell. Listen, see, you may be a bigger man, and you may be able to physically beat me up. But I'm telling you this. If you say that you're born again and say at the same breath, I can't stop this, no matter if you beat me up every day from Sunday, you're still a wimp. You're still a sissy. You're still a panty waist. I want to say something else, but it might not be. Valor. Valor. I think the spirit of Homer is upon me. Glory. It means character. It means valor. It means, yeah, but you got to suck it. You know, it's like Homer said when Kirsten called him, suck it up, soldier. The thing about it is, yeah, the emotions are there. Somebody said, yeah, you don't know how I feel. I want her. I want her. I want to go to the internet and look again. Peter says this. He says, he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. It's okay. God's just, woo. God's just real happy about you being unhappy. If you're suffering in the flesh to stop doing something that you know that's going to, see, because Jesus was, you think I'm a little tough. Jesus said, if you have any of these things, and I'm not saying that he meant it physically, but he meant to put this portrayal. He said, if your hand offends you, just lop it off. If your feet offend you, I don't know how in the world, Pastor, that I wound up in that bar or that club. Jesus. And we don't know how, I mean, we don't know how in the world we woke up in the same bed. It's just amazing to me. He said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. In other words, go to whatever extreme. Well, I've been miserable, Pastor. I haven't looked at porno in a year. There'll come a day that it's pulled all out of you to where the want to goes away. But until the want to goes away, just suffer. And I'm not real happy about this. I felt happier when I was doing it. I don't care, and God don't care a bit either. He's just real happy about you being unhappy. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's all by grace. He said, yes, sir, it's all by grace. Hallelujah. Yeah, it sure is. To virtue add knowledge. So this is the knowledge we're getting. The word of God. To knowledge add temperance. Temperance is the word self-control. Restraint. And then restraint goes into a lot of places here. I mean, you know, we talk about the bigger sins most of the time, the deal breakers. The deal breakers are the ones that'll actually eventually, if you keep doing them for years, they'll send you to hell. Even after you've been born again, your light will go out. Jude says, verse 20, that, you know, trees twice dead. But temperance can go into a lot of things. It's self-restraint. You know, okay, one piece of pie was okay, or two might be okay. But you didn't need 6, 7, or 8. I just can't stop. What's that? Yeah, now you feel attacked. No, now you feel convicted. Hallelujah. But leave it to Corey. I love Corey. Everybody loves Corey. Hallelujah. You got to love Corey. Corey just says what we're all thinking. There's, as I said, no restraint, okay? Hallelujah. But self-control. Well, I'm just waiting for God to help me to stop doing that. No, you can stop it right now. Today is the day. Hallelujah. To temperance, add patience. That's Homer's favorite, that hufamine, endurance. Endurance. Man, I love all of y'all. Golly, I love you. I'm telling you how much I love you. And I just believe you're always going to be with me. But I'm telling you, this is a war of attrition. I've done had twice as many as in here already come through here. A lot of you elders have been here from the beginning. So I'm about 99% sure you're going to be here to the end. But the thing about it is a war of attrition. And the moment you ever start thinking, I got it made, that's just that little seed. It is that little seed that'll start turning. It's possible. Endurance is not just endurance against worldly persecution, but it's endurance against the flesh. It really is a consistency. Just keep going. You know, there's been a lot of times that through the years, in 25 years, we're going on 22 full time, but 25 years just going down to that little house and then starting in here. Oh yeah, sure. There's been times that the preacher, whatever his name is, didn't want to show up. Didn't want to show up. But you know what consistency, hufamine is, somebody said, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Oh, come on now. Come on. You act, we act. Just get up and go to church. Put your pants on or your dress on. Hopefully if you're... You should. Don't be no cross dresser on me now. Okay. the right sex, put on the right clothing, okay? Man, I get myself in trouble. Jeez. And show up. Put your smile on and act like the world's just, you know, that God, and that's faith. That's faith. Somebody said, I just don't feel like going to church. Faith to go sometimes is just as strong as any other faith by the Word of God. You just show up and do what you're supposed to do. Hallelujah. That's the force of hufamine, the force of consistency. And he said, you add to it. All these are the ones that you add to. You add godliness. To patience, godliness. Godliness means just godliness or holiness. Now, why would he tell people that are already born again, who have the nature of Christ, according to Ephesians says that we were created in true holiness and righteousness, why would he tell us to add to? We're supposed to be doing this. We're supposed, by these promises, we are partakers. In other words, you ladies, you know, a ladle, you dip into a pot of soup or chili and you ladle that thing out. You ladle that thing out. You take that and you ladle it out. The partaker of who we are by of his divine nature in us is by the precious promises. In other words, when we look into this law of liberty, this perfect, James says, this perfect law of liberty, and he that is a doer of the work, not being a forgetful hearer, but actually does these promises. When you do these promises, you're partaking of that divine nature that's on the inside of you. You're adding to, in all essence, what you are, you're bringing it to the forefront. Hallelujah. You do this. To godliness, add brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is just a love for the brother, Jesus. For somebody that has... And I know most of the church world, and I love to preach like this. I can't, I couldn't preach like this except in Jim's church and in Tulsa and in here. So if I did go someplace else, and I'm invited other places at times, and I don't go to a whole lot of places, but you'd have to start way, I mean, if you did this, if you said all this stuff, nobody'd even hear you. They'd just hate you right to start with. So you got to start right down, as if you want to help them a little bit, you start way below. Don't compromise, not a compromise at all. But you guys are so mature, you can preach this and you guys can receive it and digest it, which is really great. But what I was going to say, brotherly kindness, for somebody to say, I hate them and you're born again, well, I'm in question. Because John says a hater of his brethren is a murderer. And he said no murderer has eternal life in him. Just doesn't have any eternal life. It's not even real good. Me and Homer went and picked up Dave. And we were bringing him back from the airport one day. And coming here. And he told Homer, he told me, he said, I don't know how it came about. He said, I don't have aught in my heart, not against a soul, not a person in the world, not a person. Listen, you can't even afford to be, if you're gonna cast out devils, heal the blind, do all this stuff, you can't afford to even be ticked off at anybody. Just let it go. Well, did they do me wrong? They might have done you wrong. They might have done you wrong. But you can't afford to stay mad against anybody. Not if you're gonna walk this walk. And the real mature, see, we've got all these precious promises. Remember that story Gary Carpenter used to talk about where he hated these people back when he first, you know, and they really did him wrong, and I know what they did, and he don't tell it from the pulpit, but it was really bad. And he said he hated these people, and he knew he hated them, and he said he hated them like he'd just soon kill them. And, you know, I mean, if he'd soon they'd die, and he said, I'd like to be the one that helped them to go, you know. That was that bad, because they really did some really bad. But the Lord showed him how to get past that, and he said, every time you think about it, I want you to pray for him. And then Gary said, well, he I love his honesty. He said, Lord, I'm going to pray for him, but you know I don't mean it. That's the first thing. I don't mean this. I don't mean it at all. Okay, I'm going to pray. God bless him. God help him. But you know I don't mean that. But he said the more he began to do it, through time, God began to change his heart. And that's absolutely wonderful. And that is a fallback to any of us who have, like if somebody really stabs you really, really in the back and there's a part in you that's still not real dead, that's always a fallback. That's really good. I love that story. I love it. But here's the thing. For really mature, I'm talking about somebody that's walking in the Word and walking in the Spirit, you don't need no 3 or 4, 5, 6 months. You don't need no, you won't even have to go into that kind of confession. Because as soon as it goes, the very hour, there's no need for that thing to lodge in you and you got to go to, and here's the thing, you go to your prayer closet, you got to spend the next 6 months confessing the Word and you're just thinking about this thing, this thing's wearing me out, I can't hardly get past this offense, and then you come out on the other side and you say, whoo, I got healed. Praise God. But you know what, you just wasted 6 months of good time that if you had been walking in maturity, you could have been doing something further for the kingdom of God than getting your own self healed. Hallelujah. Now, I've been through some trials where it took me a while to get past it. But really, it's like Jim said, it's pathetic. It's pathetic that we, not for babies so much, they need to grow up. But you've been in this thing 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years, and it still takes you 6 months to get past an offense that, you know, Pastor, you said something in church one day that just made me mad. I've not been able to get over it. Well, glory to God. You're exposing yourself. You're telling me right where you walk. I'm glad you got over it. You know, I've had people come up to me and say, I'm not mad at you no more. I really have. And I said, like, praise God. I didn't know you ever were. I'm not ticked off at you no more. I forgave you. I said, well, praise God. I didn't know you were upset. That's just wonderful. You know, there's nothing in the Word that's, you don't have to go tell nobody. A lot of times when you're telling somebody, it's for your benefit. Just go ahead and get over it secretly. Hallelujah. Between you and Jesus, and get over it the first day. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. To brotherly kindness, add charity. Charity. Charity is the love of God. Amen. 2 Peter 1:8 says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. That's the same thing in John 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will. Hallelujah. And it shall be given. Verse 1:9 says this, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged of his old sins. And as I said, these are those in the church at large that can't see. They're blind. Many of them are born again, but they cannot see. 10 says, again, I'm reading, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody say, if. If we do. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. And I'm sure that God gave you some powerful stuff. I can't wait to listen to it this week. So let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Amen. So have a wonderful afternoon. And we won't be meeting tonight. And we won't be meeting next Sunday night. And we'll see about the following. We'll see how it goes. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you for all our friends and our family that have gathered together today in this house and those that are watching. Kingdom of God come, will of God be done. Real quick, or just for whatever, yeah, okay. If there's anybody watching or anybody here that has never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, or if you're just not sure where you're at today, I'm going to pray a prayer and I'm going to ask all of us to pray together. We're not asking you to join the church. We're not asking you to give anything. We're just asking you to just let peace, the peace of God, that knowing your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you'll go to heaven if you were to die today or die next week or whenever your time is. It's simple. The simplicity of it is that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that confession of sins means not just that you're asking forgiveness of sin, but that you're making a lifetime commitment to follow Jesus in righteousness. Nobody's perfect in that people make mistakes, but we are quick to receive the forgiveness of Christ and continue to walk in Him. So all of us together this morning, if you're here this morning, if you're watching and you've never received Jesus as your Lord, I'm not talking about making a commitment to the church or being baptized like they do in many churches to confirm that you're part of the church. Let's just pray this prayer together. Say this, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came, died on a cross for my sins. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins that I've ever committed and wash me in your blood. Lord Jesus, I will serve you for the rest of my life in righteousness, and I will follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Simple prayer. If you prayed that, please tell somebody or tell me or hallelujah. Let us know. Praise God. We love you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Amen.